Now, the United Nations Special Rapporteur on the Right to Health, Anand Grover, has recently completed an 11-day visit to Japan. His mission was to assess the state of health in those areas affected by the Fukushima nuclear disaster and to examine the effectiveness of government actions to deal with the aftermath. During his trip, Mr. Grover travelled into the Fukushima and Miyagi prefectures to meet government officials, medical practitioners and local residents. So what did the special rapporteur learn and what does he believe still needs to be done? Alan Grover joins us on the line from New Delhi. Mr. Grover, thank you for joining us on Connect Asia.
Thank you.
Now, you were in Japan, as I mentioned, for 11 days. So what are your general impressions of how public health is faring in the regions affected by the Fukushima disaster nearly 2 years on now?
Well, I think, as you know, Japan is a fairly developed society. It's got a very good health system. But in terms of preparation for the nuclear disaster, I think they were not fully prepared. And as a result, there have been a few lapses, which I've pointed out in my press statement, which is a tentative preliminary observations. For example, neither the government nor the TEPCO, which is the Tokyo Electric Power Company, which is running the plant, have really prepared the local communities. And local communities were actually led to believe that there would not be any kind of accident. And as a result, even stable iodine was not distributed. As you know, radioactive iodine is actually one of the major issues after a nuclear disaster, which is what was found in Chernobyl. They were not given stable iodine to prevent a possible thyroid cancer, especially in children. The other thing that has been an issue is what is the assessment of Chernobyl by the Japanese authorities. And there has been a trend within Japan to actually have, as I understand, a very narrow appreciation of Chernobyl. Some of the people are of the opinion that the only issue is thyroid cancer amongst children, whereas there are now reports which show that there are other cancers, and they have not been actually linked to the Chernobyl disaster because, as you know, there was a clampdown on information and possible linking them up in the first 3.5 years after Chernobyl. But there are a large number of cancers and other diseases. Moreover, there have been independent studies which actually show that there's no low threshold limit for what is known as the dose of ionizing radiation and the link to cancer and other diseases. So I stressed upon the fact that, first of all, they should have an open-ended understanding of Chernobyl and not narrow, and they were quite willing to look at that. And secondly, and most importantly, they should actually involve the communities in the response program.
Couple of points I'd like to pick up on there. I mean, first of all, you make the reference to what lessons were learned from Chernobyl. I mean, is there a feeling from the time that you spent in Japan that perhaps that the authorities there are not looking hard enough for the after effects of the Fukushima nuclear disaster, and perhaps that they are only really sort of skating over the surface?
I wasn't just skating over the surface. They have a particular they had a particular understanding of Chernobyl, which I think now they will be looking for more things, and they're quite open about looking into other things. And also, you have to understand that the majority of people in the nuclear world, as it were, do have a very narrow appreciation of Chernobyl. So that actually has dominated the discourse. So I think it's very important because Hiroshima, Nagasaki, Chernobyl, and then Fukushima are, you know, their own type of accidents or man-made disasters, as it were. And they can't be just a replication from one to the other. These are, you know, unusual incidents. So you can't actually just replicate Chernobyl into Fukushima, which would be a mistake.
Presumably, therefore, it makes it all the more important, the second point that you made about listening to the local people, listening to those that are affected by the disaster and dealing with their concerns.
Yes, I think that's the most important point because that requires a paradigm shift in Japan, and they have a democratic structure. It's a constitutional democratic structure like India and Australia, but in most countries, the listening to the communities has not been a top priority. And I've stressed that this should be done. And I think that would actually pave the way for people to start inputting into the response, which would change the situation.
So from now on, how important is it, do you think, for the local communities not just to be heard, but to be actually involved in the decision-making processes that may take place?
I think it's critical. And this is also reflected by the fact that there is a large group of people, communities and activists and other people who do not rely only on government data. So I think it's important for the government to make sure there's no dissonance between their understanding and the community's understanding on what is the radiation level, what is required to be done. So if there is unison between the community and the government and all stakeholders, that actually have more of an effective response, not only in trying to frame a response, but also in implementation, monitoring and accountability.
We'll leave it there. Anand Grover, thank you very much indeed for joining us on Connect Asia from New Delhi.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Anand Grover, who's a UN Special Rapporteur on the Right to Health, just talking about his recent visit to Japan, and incidentally he'll present his findings to the UN Human Rights Council in June of next year.